were coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that I say or you hear somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. My beloved, when you're getting the truth out the word of God, you don't have to bag up, you don't have to shut up, but you can speak on up for the Lord, because God is indeed on our side. Good morning to you out there in radio land. So happy to have you this morning listening to us in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a great day today. Remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. And regardless what's happening in your life, remember that God is still on the throne and prayer still changes things. Well, this morning in the Situation Room, we have a great program lined up in store for you. This is the day that we answer Mary's questions today, but before we answer Mary's question, let me give you some contact information. If you would like to email me, you can email me with your marriage questions or with your Bible questions at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. Or you can call me there at the church house at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, well, we got that out the way and look forward to hearing your questions, and we'll put them right on here in the Situation Room. Today in the Situation Room, I also have with me somebody that's really beautiful, just a pretty lit peach in the Situation Room, just as pretty as a peach. How you doing? I was finna call you peaches, but you don't really like peaches. But you pretty as a peach. This is my wife, my joy. How you doing this morning, darling?
I'm doing great.
Yes.
How are you?
Oh, you doing like you look then, because you looking great this morning in the Situation Room.
All right.
All right. All right. All right. And so today we're going to answer some marriage questions.
Marriage questions today.
Marriage questions. All right. All right. We got some hot ones today off the press.
Yeah, you got some hot ones.
We got some hot ones. All right. All right. All right. Well, let's get started. What's the first one?
Okay. Question number one. My husband say that he is a Christian, but I can't get him to go to church. What is your advice?
Well, this wife, let me encourage you, wife, because I can feel your pain there. I want you to know that you are not by yourself. You're not by yourself. A lot of ladies have this same problem. Every church that you walk into, Sister Will, but they have this same problem. You walk into almost any church and you're going to see 50 to 60%. There is women's and 20 or 30%. Maybe men, maybe children. But the women's are going to just about outnumber the men's 2 to 1. And if you wouldn't know any better, you would think when you walk in there that all those ladies are single.
True.
But
majority are married.
Yeah, you got them half and half. You got probably a third is single. The other third is married. But only a fourth of that third that's married, husbands, is there in church. So this is a great problem. I wish I did have, you know, the answer. But I'm gonna give what I feel the Bible, something that can help you out the Bible. Okay. I wish though I had a magic wand, Sister Wilbur, that I could.
So easy.
Yeah, but it's really not an easy fix like that. But the question that I would want to know, because she said that her husband, he claims to be a Christian, mm-hmm. but she can't get him to go to church. And see, mm-hmm. I'm kind of disturbed with that. Why? I would want to know, is your husband really saved?
Okay.
Is he really saved? Because you have a lot of people who profess to be Christians, but they are not. Remember, even back in Jesus' day, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You had religious leaders. So, and the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes, they wrote the scriptures, but they weren't even saved. Mm-hmm. But they wrote the scriptures. You had a lot of the Pharisees. They were the preachers. A lot of them was preachers. But they were not saved. So my question is your husband really saved? Because a lot of men, they grow up in the church, but show no real love for the Lord, but the love for the world. And so one of the ways you can tell if a person is saved is, do they have this sign of love, that agape love? For number one, the love for the Lord, and then the love for God's people. Over there in 1 John, Sister Wilbur, there's a scripture. Over in 1 John chapter 2, I believe around the 15th verse.
Okay.
Read that.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever.
Yeah. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that's in the world. For if any man loves the world, what?
The love of the Father.
The love of the Father is not in him. And so if he don't want to come to the Father's house on earth, how do he think he can make it to the Father's house in heaven?
He won't.
Not if he don't love change. God, if he don't change. Love is the sign. That's the sign. You know, earlier this week I dealt with that, and we'll deal with that later on, Sister Wilbur, in our week of review. But I dealt with one of the sign gifts. Way you know you're saved is love. Not necessarily tongues, but it's love for today. Mm-hmm. It's love for today. Jesus, he even gave a parable. Because see, something, the problem with this husband, there's a heart problem. When men don't come to church, there's a heart problem. Okay. It's something ain't right in the heart. Look at Matthew chapter 13, because Jesus gave the first parable, and he said this is the key parable to interpret it. All the rest of the parable, the parable of the sower and the seed. Can you get that, Sister Wilma, over in Matthew
13, verse 19 through
23? Yeah, read that, please, ma'am.
When anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh to the wicked one and cast away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony place, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receives it. Mm-hmm. Yet had he not rooted in himself, but do it for a while, for when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, mm-hmm. by and by he is offended.
Mm-hmm. He's offended.
He also that receives seed among the thorn is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Okay.
But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
So that first one, he says that receive the word where now?
If anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not.
Okay, don't understand it.
Then cometh the wicked one and casteth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside.
So that person really got a hard heart, because see, the word didn't even penetrate. Mm-hmm. And Satan came and he took the seed. So that the word didn't even work in that person's life. Didn't even penetrate. Then you got that other person.
He received the seed in a stony place.
In stony places, so rocky places.
Mm-hmm. And said he heard the word.
He heard it.
And anon with joy received it.
Yeah.
Yet he was not rooted in himself.
He didn't have any roots.
But do it for a while. For when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Yeah. So I would want to know, you know, like, did her husband, when he comes to church, whenever he comes, and hear the word, hides his response. Do he have a response where the word has no effect? When he go back home, the devil done already stole his word.
Mm-hmm.
Then is it like on that rocky soil? Rocky soil, he gets excited,
mm-hmm.
but because he don't have any roots, then the word don't do him no good.
Right.
Because he don't have any roots in himself.
He can't take the pressure.
Yeah.
And the persecution.
Yeah, the persecution come, and so he quit going to church.
Mm-hmm. Got his feelings hurt, in other words.
Yeah. And then the third one was what now? The thorny places?
The seed is among the thorns, in which that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful.
Yeah. Yeah, and so because he's got his mind on making money, then church don't really do him no good.
Mm-hmm.
So look at one of those three responses, my sister, and see, where is your husband? Do the word not have any effect on him when he do go to church? Because I'm assuming that at one time he was going to church and he quit going.
Quit going, yeah.
Yeah, and she can't get him to go, you know, back to church because he said that, you know, he was saved.
Mm-hmm.
Saved. So that kind of let me know that one time he was going to church. But now he's not even going to church at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really concerned about his salvation. Because there are some people that start out with Jesus and then they turn their back on Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture over in St. John,
mm-hmm.
chapter 6. Remember, Jesus had fed the 5,000 men And the next day they came back looking for Jesus again, because they said, oh man, anybody that can, you know, take 2 fish, 5 loaves and bread, yeah, he can be my king. But then Jesus started telling them to make a commitment. You got to make a commitment. Mm-hmm. And then what did those men do when Jesus talked to them about making a commitment?
They went away.
Read that, Sister Wilma.
Okay.
Chapter 6.
John 6, verses 66 through 70. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Yeah, so those men, they turned their back on Jesus mm-hmm. once they found out that Jesus was not passing out any more fish sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. No more free
food. So, right. So, my advice to this lady, number one is to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for your husband salvation, because your husband, he's either lost or he's seriously in a backslidden condition. So pray that God would touch his heart and soften his heart up, that he'll come on back to church. And then, sister, you be the example. You be the example, because the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, that it says, if any husband does not obey the word, he can be won by the behavior of his wife. And so that's what you do. You submit unto your husband. You love your husband. Don't put down your husband. Don't criticize your husband. But you love him. And you be the example of what a Christian lady look like. You show him what church does in your life, the good that church do. What often happens, ladies go to church, and then when they come back home, they act like they ain't never been to church.
Mm-hmm.
And so the husbands say, well, why should I go to your church? Because it don't do nothing for you. I mean, look at you. You still curse. You still do this. And you're doing some of the same sins that I'm doing. So it's no sense in me going to church. So make sure, Christian lady, my sister, that you really be the example for your husband, so that your husband can say, listen, boy, now I remember you how you used to be. You used to be bad, but now you're a good woman, and I want to go to that church. I see what that church done for you. Boy, if it can change you, I know it can change me. If it can help you, then it can help me. All right, well, that's my advice. Sister Wibble, we got to move on. I didn't mean to talk so long on that one, but I can feel, I sympathize with that sister.
Okay. Question number 2. How do you handle a teenager that just won't mind?
That just won't mind. Oh, we don't hardly get these kinds of questions. This is a family question here, but it's a good question. It's a good question. How do you handle a teenager that just won't mind? Sister Wilbur, we got some good questions today. This is hot.
This is hot.
Oh, yes, this is a hot question. Good question. Well, realize, Christian parents, that you are not by yourself. Many parents go through the same thing. Matter of fact, any parent that had some children,
go through this.
They're going through this and have been through this. So you can make it. So mm-hmm. So hang in there. As a matter of fact, ask the Lord what he's trying to teach you.
Okay.
God is trying to tell you something
mm-hmm.
about yourself. You know, the scripture says over in James chapter 1, 2 and 3, to count it all joy when you encounter various trials.
Mm-hmm.
For the trials of your faith worketh patience. Listen, God is up to something. God has given you this child, this rebellious child, because God wants to do a work in your heart as well as in your child's heart. So, as James says, count it all joy. Don't go around the house with your head hanging down. Don't go around looking sour. Don't be rolling your eyes at your children and approaching them with negativism. No, no. Show some love. Show some love because God is doing a work in your heart. Now that's the first thing I want these parents, this couple, to see. So ask God what he's trying to teach you, because God is up to something great by giving you that rebellious child. Now over in 1 Samuel chapter 2, mm-hmm. verse number 12, it talks about how Eli, the preacher, the pastor at the tabernacle back in Samuel day, had some rebellious children. Mm-hmm. Read that scripture there, sister.
Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Mm-hmm. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Beel, for they knew not the Lord.
Yeah, Beel. That word Beel in the King James Bible, it said they was worthless. Now read it and take that BL and put that word worthless in there.
Now the sons of Eli were sons of worthless.
Yeah.
They knew not the Lord.
Yeah, they was worthless children. They didn't know the Lord. Now think about it. If when you read the rest of that story, you'll find out that them boys was working at the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. And they was assistant pastors there at the church, but the Bible said they was worthless boys. They were sleeping with the ushers and stealing their offering. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, the daddy, Eli, he knew about it, but he didn't do anything. He was an old man, and he had reached the point in his life of thinking that, okay, I don't arrive at my point of spiritual maturity. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, God gives us these problems because God is trying to make us keep growing. And even though this man was an old man, he had these boys that were sleeping with the girls there at the church and were stealing the offering. And God was trying to get Eli to come on and grow some more. Mm-hmm. And the way you grow is through problems. You don't grow when everything is nice and sunny. You grow through problems. And so it's just like a person picking up weights. You don't get no muscles by picking up paper. You get muscles when there's some resistance. Mm-hmm. That's how you get your muscles. In the same way, that's how you gonna grow. God has given you this child to help you grow. Now, look over there at 22 through 25. Did Eli do anything about that?
Okay. Verse 22. Now, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel.
So he heard about it.
Mm-hmm. And how they lay with the women that assemble at the door of the tabernacle.
Laying with the ushers.
Mm-hmm. And he said unto them, why do you, ye such things? For I've heard of your evil dealings by all the people. Nay, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, whom shall entreat for him? Now, notwithstanding, they hearken unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them.
Okay, they didn't hearken. They didn't listen. They didn't listen to their daddy. Mm-hmm. And when you don't listen to your parents, then God has to step in. Mm-hmm. And so Eli should have practice some tough love. So God is trying to toughen you up. A lot of times God gives us tough children to toughen us up. There is a defect in our character. See, it's just like God. God is trying to get you to become more like Him. And there's two sides of God. There's that soft love and there's that tough love of God. Most of us want to go with that soft love. We like that soft love. But there's a tough love. There's a love where God says, him that I love it, I chasten it. And so one of the ways you really show that you are like God is by chastening your children.
Mm-hmm.
So God could be trying to get you to toughen up. You could be trying to be the this teenager friend.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not, he don't want you to become their friend and their buddy. God wants you to be the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like when you catch a fish, you don't leave the fish dangling on the hook. Mm-hmm. What do?
You reel them in.
And so when you see your children are running wild, then you got to reel them in. You reel them in. And God leaves that responsibility up to the parents. Because if you don't reel them in, then that means that somebody outside the house is going to have to reel them in. And that's going to be like the police.
Mm-hmm.
End up in prison. And you don't want that to happen. So practice some tough love. God is trying to grow you up where you can be more like God. And so also think back to how you was,
mm-hmm,
as a child. How was you as a child? Was you a rebellious child? How was your mate as a child? Was your mate a rebellious child? Because a lot of times, to tell the truth, our children is just a reflection,
mm-hmm,
of who we are. Yeah. So
just maybe magnified more.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. So God is doing a work in your heart. And so if you was like that when you was a child, now, you don't be so hard, because that's how you was.
Okay.
And what did your mama and your daddy do for you? How did they treat you? Did it work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those are some of the questions that this couple, these parents, they need to ask. And then I would draw near to that child. Don't draw away from the child. Draw as close as you can near to that child. Show that love to that child. You know, I often tell the story about, you know, when one of our boys was in high school and looked like he was getting ready to kind of go left. And what the Lord told me to do is fix him breakfast every morning.
Mm-hmm.
He loved oatmeal and bacon, grits, and eggs, and he loved toast. Grits, and he loved toast. And every morning, I would fix him the best breakfast in the world. And that gave us a chance to sit down and talk. And before long, I was able to win him back. God just used that 15, 20 minutes, mm-hmm, in the morning time before he went to school, giving him breakfast and just listening to his day. I needed to hair up and get to work and get started, but I had to take time and just listen to him. And God used that to reel him back in.
I think a lot of times that's what they want, is just for the parent to spend time with them.
Yes.
Just listening to them talk. You don't have to say anything, but just be there.
Amen. Well, look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all for today in the Situation Room. Thank you for joining us. Please listen to us the rest of the day. God bless you. You've been listening to the Situation Room. Have a good day.